Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
This is James in New York, New York.
Well, how are things in New York, James?
Cold and windy.
Yeah, you got it that way, didn't you?
I'm calling tonight because Harry Houdini and my great-grandfather were best of friends.
You're kidding me.
No, I'm not kidding you. In fact, my great-grandfather taught him everything he knew.
Your great-grandfather was a magician or an escape artist?
Inventor.
This is incredible. Tell me about this.
Well, they met when my great-grandfather was in Appleton, Wisconsin. He moved there from Ukraine. Well, he emigrated from Ukraine.
Yeah.
And Houdini bet a cop that he could escape from his handcuffs. And when he failed to do so, he contacted my great-grandfather. And my great-grandfather was an inventor. He invented the laminated padlock that we know as Master Lock today.
Okay.
And so what he did was he taught him how to escape from the handcuffs. And then later on, when Houdini was doing his trick where he locked himself in the trunk and had the locks going all around, what my great-grandfather told him was, before you get on stage, kiss your wife. And what happened was when Houdini kissed his wife, the key was passed to Houdini.
Houdini
had the key in his mouth.
Good point.
Yeah, so that's how they were great friends, and he just taught him everything he knew. Well, maybe not everything he knew, but many ways to escape from the locks, and he supplied the padlocks for a lot of his shows.
Did he outlive Harry? Harry died, of course, when he got punched in the stomach. And
right.
Then...
he did. My great-grandfather died, I think, in 1950. So
Had some great stories.
Thank you.
Great stories. Hey, thanks a lot.
My pleasure.
Appreciate you sharing that with us. How about that? His great-grandfather knew Harry Houdini. First-time caller line. You're on the air with us on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, George.
Hello. Where are you calling from?
Terre Haute, Indiana.
Sure.
I got a little thing on UFOs I'd like to share with you and your listening.
Sure, please.
My father, back during the Apollo missions, was flying for a company that several individuals that were in this company had connections with people down in at the Cape. They used to go down and see the blast-offs every time they had them. Well, on one of the occasions when they went down there, Dad was able to, they had dinner one night, and this was prior to one of the Apollo missions. And he sat at a table with some individuals.
And had we already been to the moon?
Well,
right?
Yes, we'd been to the moon, right.
Okay.
And he was talking to this particular individual was the command module pilot, and I can't remember and give you the name of the exact mission that he was the command pilot on, but he was telling my father, my dad had experienced several occasions. He flew all his life. He was a pilot for several major companies.
Okay, and do you remember the astronaut's name?
I believe it was Stu Russa. I don't know if you know who that is.
I've heard the name.
Command module pilot. Okay?
Yeah, yeah. And I can probably find that while we're still talking.
I don't even know if he's still living or not. But my dad had told him because of an experience that he had when he was landing at New York and when it was called Idlewild, airport.
Oh, yeah. That's a long time ago.
And he had a UFO come in on his wingtip and followed him clear down to landing and then taxied along the runway with him and then shot off in a ball of light. And that stayed with my dad all his life till he died in 1980. But he told me that when they were sitting there having dinner, that he asked this particular astronaut what he'd experienced, and if what my father saw was anything that he might have seen. He said, well, let me share a story with you, Lloyd. He said that they were followed all the way from when they reached orbit, got out of our own atmosphere, all the way to the moon. UFOs followed them all the way there and all the way back. And one of the reasons that we did not go back to the moon, and he specifically told Dad this.
By the way, Apollo 14, he went with our friend Edgar Mitchell.
Okay.
All right, there you go.
One of the reasons that we did not go back to the moon is what they saw up there. They had regular airports and bases just like we have an airport here. You know, when you land in an airport, you know what it looks like.
Sure.
They saw these things up there. So that was one of the reasons they did not go back.
Were they told not to go back?
Well, no, he said that's one of the reasons it was given to him specifically that they weren't to go back there again. Because what was seen on the moon.
Well, you would think we would want to go back.
Well, I don't know. Maybe it was not to disturb what was there. Maybe there was some reason. I don't know. This is what he told my father. And
this came from The late astronaut Stu Roosa.
That's right.
He died, by the way, at age of 61, pretty young.
My dad died in 1980. He was 65.
All right. Did your father have any reasons to doubt this guy or to make up this story?
None whatsoever. I've talked to Stan Freeman once on the phone about it. You know, I called him one time. I think it was on another radio talk show, and I talked to him over the phone about it. He found it very interesting.
What's interesting is Edgar Mitchell believes in UFOs, and he believes in extraterrestrial life, but he has told me directly several times that he didn't see anything on the moon.
Well, I don't think you're going to get any one astronaut to talk to you specifically. You know, he might on the side, but I doubt if he'd talk to you on an all-night radio show that's going out all over the world.
Sure, that's true.
I mean, I think there's a lot of technology that's out there that we're not being, you know, told about. I can tell you another real short story.
Yeah, I'd like to. And let me ask you one more about Roosa first. Did he kind of imply who built all these structures?
There was nothing said.
Okay.
But there were structures. There were airports there. Just like their bases, you know.
Functioning or maybe old
functioning
ones?
Functioning bases, correct.
All right.
Just like, you know, you'd see airplanes sitting on a tarmac.
Right, right.
He saw a UFO sitting there. You know, he was the command module pilot. He flew the module as it made the orbits around the moon.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, you can take it from there.
That's an incredible story. Okay, right. And what's the other one?
Well, the other story is, you know, we've talked about technology as far as economy on our cars, you know, and everything. Does it exist? My dad worked for Autolite back in the early 1940s, early 50s. And then, again, he was chief pilot for the company back then. But on his weekends off, he used to spend a lot of time down in the research lab. And at the time, you know, we had normal aspirated engine, carbureted engines running on the bench. And he said that those engines down there were getting between 60 and 70 miles a gallon.
Oh, my gosh.
At that time. I think that it would be interesting if you could get a guest on some night that maybe, I don't know if they'd still be alive or not, that would have some, you know, something to say maybe about technology that they've seen back that far back, that would be willing to talk about it.
That they somehow put the thumb over to keep it from hitting the marketplace?
Right.
Yeah, we're working on some stuff like that.
I mean, I think, you know, I think we all need to know about it, the real truth of what's being going on in this country, how the oil companies are, you know, keeping the secrets for us for profits.
You think we can handle the truth?
I could.
Yeah, so, you may be different, though.
Yeah.
Okay, thanks.
Okay.
Great story on Roosa, by the way. That is an incredible story.